Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I talk about being a vital part or member of the New Testament church on this earth. Acts 2:42 is a watermark for how quickly the gospel spread because they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. That should be the believer's standard today, devoted to the word of God and fellowship with like-minded believers. You must be a participant in the body of Christ and not just a spectator. 1 John 4:17 describes your part in all this. This love is perfected with us that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now let's join the program.
Well, praise God. I'm glad you're with us today. And Barb, I think back to Tuesday night, we had an awesome meeting. We've been having some great meetings.
We did. I think so many times of this world and how the enemy would want to isolate us and keep us away from fellowship. And I'll tell you, Darren, fellowship is so important. It is so important for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe we talk about that enough. We talk about going to church, and I was just sitting and talking with Ryan Tuesday night and the things about the Sabbath and then Sunday and why don't we shouldn't celebrate on Sunday because this wicked king ordained it as a holy day. And then again, why I don't believe that the Sabbath is to be recognized as it was in the Old Testament by the New Testament church, because Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, and I have come to fulfill all of the Old Testament. And so I believe when we enter into God's rest, every day is a Sabbath for us. And we were talking about that, and Ryan was in agreement. And you're thinking so many times, there's so many rules and regulations. Well, I don't believe in this because of this, and I don't believe, but we don't think of the fellowshipping. And I was saying to him, you know, it's not important, I don't think, the date and the days that we celebrate together. It is just the celebrating together. It's the coming together. And we see that every week, Darren. I look forward to Tuesday nights and to Monday nights at Shiloh. I really look forward to those times because I believe that the fellowshipping together is so important.
Well, I think you're talking about body life here.
Well, if you want to put that
label really,
on it.
Well, really, you know,
yes.
That's what it says. You know,
yes.
Hey, we're the body of Christ, and we
that's
come
right.
together, and it says, don't forsake the assembly of the believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very, very important. And,
right.
you know, I've talked frequently about the power that's in these Tuesday night meetings, and that's something that, you know, I've been a teacher for years, and so have you. But that's an unusual anointing in that group. And I know Tuesday night when we were teaching, I looked back and I saw some people are absolutely interceding. They were in the very presence of God. I don't think they were aware of people around them, of the room, of us in the front of the room. I think they were just lost in the Spirit, as we'd say. They were just, well, just kind of buried and baptized in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when this one young man came up and he said, I need prayer because my wife is in all kinds of psychic things. And the anointing of God was so strong to break that paralysis over that wife.
Yes.
And there were people in the audience that were just hooking into that, I'm telling you. So I know that young man's not walking alone today. I know he's getting a lot of prayer on his behalf and also for his son. A lot of prayer, and God's going to save that family.
That's right. Praise the Lord. I would like to read a little bit of Acts 2, and Peter was preaching, and it was during the gathering of the people, And if you have your Bible, turn with us to your Bible. And, you know, I was thinking, why do you listen to Darren Barber every day? You know, why do you turn on your radio? And some of you say, well, I've got it on from 7:30 or 7 o'clock on, and I just enjoy listening. And that's probably the way with me. One of the first things after I'm through reading the Word, and you know that, Darren, in the mornings I turn on KLT. And I enjoy a lot of the speakers. But some of that, Darren, is for edification. It's to get some fellowship. And especially for those who listen to us, you who are alone, we encourage you, get as much fellowship as you can if it's over the radio or over Christian television. I think that's important, too, besides the Word.
But let me say the other side of the coin here. You folks that are listening, and we push you all the time to get in the Word, we want you to be discerning. Because not everything that we hear on Christian radio, I'm going to say in quotes, Christian radio and television is scriptural.
That's right.
Some of it is a person's ideas. It might be their, quote, individual theology or something they think they've got figured out. Mm-hmm. You need to be wise in the Word to know when something like that's coming down.
Yes.
And you need to go to your Bible and say, I don't, that doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to hear the voice of God. To know Holy Spirit is leading you to the truth to find out what's really going on.
That's right.
And he'll guide you. And we're very, very concerned about that in the body of Christ these days.
Yes, that's right. I agree with you. Now, in the second chapter of Acts, Peter was saying to them in the 38th verse, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Boy, in the New Testament, all I see is when we receive Jesus, then the next step is the gift of Holy Spirit, or the baptism of Holy Spirit, as some of us charismatics say. For the promise, this promise of the Holy Spirit, Darren, is for you and your children. Hallelujah. And for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. That's one reason. Now, I know a lot of denominations, and I don't want to speak against denominations as such, but they say that speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was during the apostolic age, and it's gone. Well, here it says this promise is not only for the disciples during that day, but for your children. And that's an ongoing, that's a generational thing. That's an ongoing thing. It's a promise for those who are to follow. And with many other words, he solemnly testified, kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And that's why we love to get together, because of that reason. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's the New Testament church, Darren.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It is. And I believe those people, the group I was saying, I'd rather have 35 of you who are doers of the word that are here together assembled with your level of faith than 5,000 of hearers that don't do anything.
You mean 5,000 spectators.
5,000 spectators. They're hearing, but they're not.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with large groups.
No.
But if it's one or the other, we'll take the small group with the anointing, right?
Yes, absolutely. With one mind. See, the word I'd like you to underline in verse 46, if you're reading along with us, day by day continuing with one mind.
In other words, they were in agreement.
In agreement.
They were on the same page. As we'd say, they were focused on the same thing with the same intent.
Absolutely.
Same intention. And you know, one young man we prayed for Tuesday night came up, and I said, are you lonely? And he said, very lonely. Now, there wasn't fellowship. He isn't in one mind with his wife, because she's following some stuff that's really, really weird. He's concerned about his child, and he should be. But I'll tell you, I believe here, Barb, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the way things get turned around, because we're talking about power. Mm-hmm. And some of these things will never be changed until we introduce the power of God on the scene. We need to get God in the mix, as we would say. It can't be an academic thing anymore. We need to find the power of God and release that through our mind, through our thoughts, through our meditations in Scripture, and through our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the apostles and the disciples were doing here. They were speaking out of a holy power.
That's
here,
right.
Really, it's called the baptism. It's a baptism of fire and of power. And I'll tell you, this young man, when we prayed for him last night, I watched God just melt his heart. And later on, he came up and he showed me a Bible. And it was such a thrill to me because he said, how's your son Lance doing? And I said, well, he's doing fine. He's doing super. I think I said last night, and I meant Tuesday night. But this last Tuesday night of this week. And he opened up his Bible, and there at the top of the page, in my handwriting, I'd given this Bible to my son Lance, and Lance turned around, and he wrote a paragraph of encouragement to this young man and handed it to him. And here was a well-used Bible. That was a real thrill to me, and I need to get a hold of Lance and tell him some seed that he had sown probably 15 years ago, really today was bringing forth fruit. And this young man treasured that Bible. So I want to tell you, when we come together as believers, particularly we come together in one mind, as it says here in verse 45 or 46, we're going to see things happen in the body of Christ in the gospel.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's why Jesus took on the duties for 3 years of having 12 men with him. He wanted them to know his very heart. And the only way we can do that is by getting together once a week, whatever, frequent times. And
so Jesus wasn't talking there just about converts. He was talking about making disciples.
Making disciples.
And that's who
was
speaking up here.
Absolutely. And he commissions us when he left this earth. He commissioned us not only to go out and proclaim the good news, but to make disciples of the nations. And that is every Christian's goal, is who you meet along your way. And Darren and I are not going to be meeting the same people that you meet on a daily basis. You're the only light that some people ever get. Your Jesus inside of you needs to be told to that person that you're walking with, you're with every day. Even that person that you say, oh, he'll never receive Jesus. He is so blind, or she is, you know, so crass, and they will never know Jesus. Oh, nothing is impossible with God, and especially the changing of a human heart.
Well, now, if we take 1 John 4:17, Barbara, just took on to what you're saying, and the very last part of this verse, it says, as he is, so are we in the world, as Jesus. Now, let me read about Jesus. In Acts 10:38, it says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. I love that, with power.
Mm-hmm.
How he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Mm-hmm.
People need to look at us and say, you know, who's with you? What's going on here? What's up? As Smith Wigglesworth used to say, what's up? You know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
People need to be attracted to that, and we need to be able to preach the gospel in a sense that we go out to pray to heal the sick and to see people get saved and to present the message of the gospel, and that's the message of freedom. But you can't do that effectively without power.
That's right. I sense that God is teaching us, Darren, and the thing that he's teaching us is not to be afraid, not to be intimidated, not to be fearful about these new situations we get ourselves into. And I especially appreciate Tuesday night and the smallness of the group, because I am learning as well. I'm learning to discern the spirits, the good and evil. I am learning to be able to measure a person up and down and in the spirit and say, you know, God, what is really, you know, they'll say one thing to you. People will come up and say, you know, I've got this problem. It's usually a symptom. You're absolutely right. You have spoken of this many times. When people come up for prayer, they're usually talking about a symptom. They're not talking about a root. So it's the leadership that has to be a discerning leadership and say, no, well, I understand what you're saying, but there's a deeper thing here going on in your life.
What we're saying is, you know, they're talking about their owie.
Yes.
You know, the thing that's paining them right at the moment.
Yes.
And they may say it as simply as, I have a headache, or I have, you know, a problem with my knee, or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is you want to measure them, but you're talking about discernment here.
Yes.
One of the gifts of the Spirit is to discern. And God can give us a word of knowledge. He can give us a word of wisdom. He can speak into our hearts and say, ask about this, or pray for that, or you know, sometimes you look at a person, it looks like they totally have it together.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at the outer shell, you looked mm-hmm. at their clothes, mm-hmm. everything is in order, color coordinated, I mean, clear down to the socks and the shoes and so on. But God may say, bind a spirit of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray that, and I'm telling you, I've seen them just break because God put his finger on it. Maybe it's a person brand new to the meeting, you've never seen him before. Excuse me, and God's saying, go for it, pray for this person. And you're praying for him. All of a sudden, out comes these words, I bind that spirit of death, I bind that spirit of suicide. And here this person looked like they just stepped out of a fashion show.
Yes.
But inside, they're a mess. They're
yes.
hurting.
Yes. But also, as I sense sometimes as leadership, we're afraid to walk into an area that might cause offense on the other person, on for the sake of the other person that's standing in front of us. And sometimes I don't say what I feel in the spirit, and I believe these meetings are so important for us in training that we can begin to be assured that this is Holy Spirit speaking to us, and that's what this is what this person really needs. And so many times if I see like a lustful spirit or something, I'm afraid to actually speak that out because I don't know how people are going to take it, and especially the person I'm praying for is going to take it. Well, what do you mean? How dare you say that to me? But in a small group setting, there's a freer, there's more chance of being free than in a large group when you say, wow, what are they going to think of me if I say to this person what I really feel Holy Spirit is telling me to say to them? And I find that sometimes fear in the leadership or intimidation in the leadership or a feeling of, well, I may lose my job or my salary if I am really honest.
You stepped over and talking about the fear of man.
Well, absolutely.
You know, what are people going to think of me? Are they going to leave my church and never come
back?
Don't
you think leadership, that is a big hindrance
absolutely.
In the leadership
absolutely.
Today? I really do. And I even sense that in our smaller groups once in a while.
You know, one of the things, Barbara, I think we have to just plain address, since you're bringing this up, and I think it's right on, I think it's of the Holy Spirit. Behind the scenes, in the preacher circles, they would say, well, who owns the preacher's refrigerator? That means who is supporting the preacher. And if he gets stuff on somebody that's a big giver, are they going to up and leave his church and it ends up affecting his salary?
Mm-hmm. So what happens there? Compromise?
Compromise. And it's called sin.
Did Jesus ever compromise?
I can't find it. But I think there is a fine line there between being abrasive in the flesh, which really does turn people off.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're saying to a person, look, I see these things that are on your life or in your life, and I have so much compassion for you, I must tell you, as a servant or a teacher of the Lord or a prophet or pastor or minister here, I need to speak into your life, and it's correction, but it's for your good.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing, if it's left unattended and without somebody really taking the power of God after that thing, you're going to end up suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, if it's not taken care of, it's not addressed, then that one problem allowed to stay attracts other problems. Now, I call it cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a fear come in, usually it has a first cousin called anger. And if yes. you leave that there, then pride's allowed to stay. If you leave that there, I mean, the compromise really begins. And so often, we need to go after a spirit of anger, spirit of fear, lust, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness. All of those things keep Christians, not just the guy that's never met Jesus and accepted Jesus, but keeps Christians from being, how can I say it, successful.
Yes.
Because those things are filters that really filter out a pure message from the Lord God. So we need to take that divine privilege called repentance and repent and say to the Lord, I don't know what all, I can't rightly divide the word of truth when it comes to my own heart. Because it says in the Old Testament, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? In Jeremiah 17:9. Mm-hmm. We can't always know what's on the inside of us. So I believe we have to say to the Lord, if there's something in my heart, I give you full permission to tell me. Now, here's where I think a prayer partner, and that could be a wife, a spouse, could be a husband, someone that's close to you.
Yes, a friend. Yes.
I think you need to give God permission with your mouth to say, Lord, if you can't get it through to me for whatever reason, maybe I'm not listening, or I don't want to listen, or I've got a blind spot, or I got a hang up somewhere. I give you permission, and I ask you to come through my best friend here, who I trust, and let them tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my case, and sometimes I'm sorry I've said this, Barb, I mean, when you go getting after me, I say, oh, Lord, why did I ever tell this woman that I was going to have God? If he can't get through to me, he's going to speak to you and have you tell me. And sometimes you enjoy those times far too much, Bob. That's just a little sidebar issue here. But really, if we're serious about growing in the Lord and leaving ourselves or not leaving ourselves uncovered spiritually, we need to have somebody that we've given permission to walk into our lives and say, hey, big guy, there's something I got to tell you.
That's
and it's
right.
for your good.
That's right. One of the great things that Satan does is, like what I was saying at the beginning of this broadcast, he isolates us, or he tries to isolate us so that we don't have anyone around us who we are accountable to or we can go to. And I see in Hebrews 12, I turn to Hebrews 12 to see that a root of bitterness, if we allow that root of bitterness to come forth, it causes trouble and more trouble, and many will be defiled as a result of this. But I was looking.
Read that exactly
well,
what it says.
Let me read this verse right before it. I had never thought of this as a corporate body kind of a verse. I always thought of a singular, he's going to strengthen my hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. But this is talking about body parts. This is, see, I'm a part of the body. You're a part of the body. Our brothers and sisters are different little parts of one body. If we could see ourselves as parts of a biological body here with legs and arms and things that move, and Jesus is the head, I think we would have more compassion for each other and be more prayerful towards each other. But here in the 12th verse it says, therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Now, if I have a brother and sister, a brother over here who is lame, let's say lame, for one of
them. Physically lame?
Or mentally
lame. Spiritually.
And he is causing some disruption in this body from keeping it running smoothly in the body of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Then we go and we pray for them so that that little joint, that little leg or that little ball joint won't be out of joint, but it'll come together and be healed so that the whole body will work. If we saw each other as a body, and every time a brother or sister got hurt or they had a problem, we go over and pray for them, they are healed, and our body is running smoothly again. It's running great. I see this. It says, pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Now, this is our responsibility as brothers and sisters. We need to watch each other and make sure that our brothers and sisters are not getting into bitterness, not getting into fear and anger, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled.
You know, I've had to address that issue with a lot of people. I've heard the bitterness in their voice print, and I, of course, have done more of this on radio and television than in meetings, say, or in even a counseling situation, a one-to-one. But, you know, I've had to say to them, you know, I think you're bitter towards someone. I think you have unforgiveness in your heart. And, you know, as a Christian brother, I need to pick up my responsibility and say there, you know, this needs to happen for you, for that person, and for the body of Christ. And, you know, Barbara, out of thousands of times, I think I've only had maybe once or twice somebody says, well, I'm just not ready to forgive. I just don't want to forgive. Mm-hmm. Usually when the doors open and the light shines on their lives and their heart, not to shame them or make them feel embarrassed or anything else, but with the idea of the body being healed. I'm speaking about the body of Christ. And so I'd say to them, you know, I think there's some bitterness here. Well, yes, there is. Do you want to address that? Do you want God to help you with that? And usually if you just wait, the ministry of Holy Spirit brings a conviction, brings a desire to change, and say, well, yes, I am. But some will say, but I haven't been able to get through that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been so grievous and so deep. And,
yes.
And the person that's hurting me just does it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And Darren, I don't know how I've tried. And what they're saying is I've tried to reason through it. And folks, I want to tell you this. God gave this to me and to Barbara several months ago. You cannot reason with the Spirit. You can't sit down and talk to fear, talk to bitterness, talk to unforgiveness, and talk and reason your way through it. It won't happen. So you need some help. Many times we need to come along, and it does say in the book of James, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's healing on every level, spiritually, yes. Mentally, physically. Well, in a bitterness situation, which we're talking about in Hebrews 12:15, see that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, by it many be defiled. If that's there, and you're really a quality brother or a sister in the body of Christ, you need to address that in that other person's life. And then help them through that.
That's right.
Pray a prayer of forgiveness, and God will put forgiveness through their hearts so they can not only forgive and release, but forget.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the hurt.
Yes. Usually when I say, you know, if you don't release that brother or sister or pour forgiveness into that for what he has done against you, your Heavenly Father isn't going to forgive you. Boy, that usually sets people
straighter. Now, let's give them the scripture for that. Okay?
Yeah.
You must forgive if you want to be forgiven. I think that's in Mark 4, isn't it?
Oh, I was here. It's in Matthew 6. And if you forgive men of their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is right after the Lord's Prayer, believe it or not. It says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven those who have offended us.
Yes, exactly.
See, that doesn't mean people that just owe you money. That means people that have really offended you. And then it says, if you forgive men of their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Boy, that's heavy duty, Darren.
I'm glad you knew where that was. I thought it was in Mark 4, and you tell us it's in Matthew what?
6. It's Matthew in Matthew 6. 6, right after the Lord's Prayer.
Wow.
It's in Matthew 6, 14 and
wow.
15.
And then right on down the track there. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Absolutely.
Now, folks, righteousness means that you can stand in God's presence. Now, I want you to remember this. Without a sense of guilt, condemnation, fear, or inferiority.
Mm-hmm. And when you don't forgive, all of those things are present.
Amen. And when you can stand before your Heavenly Father knowing that you're pure before Him, that there's nothing in you that the devil put there, mm-hmm. or you don't have sin on you or in you,
that's
a marvelous situation.
Oh.
And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, here's what it says. He who knew no sin, in other words, Jesus never knew sin. He was sinless. He who knew no sin was made to be sin on your behalf. In other words, Jesus took your sins. What he says, he was absolutely, totally innocent. But God took my sins and put them on Jesus, that I might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. That means that I could have a right standing. I could stand before the Father.
Yes.
I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to feel inferior, condemned, and all that stuff, and fearful, and so on. In other words, I need to understand the righteousness that God has given me in Jesus. And that comes through a real understanding of that divine privilege. I'll tell you, the more I say that, it's such a divine privilege, and that's forgiveness. And if there's something wrong in your life while you're listening to this show today, I hope you'll bow your head and ask God to forgive you. And ask Him to cleanse your life and give you a fresh start. That's what 1 John 1:9 is about.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in